Good morning, Mr. Poole.
Hello, Connie. How are you doing? I understand you're back,
Brad.
I understand you're back in the country now.
No, I'm not.
Oh, you're still in wait.
We're still in theater.
Oh, okay. Well, I wanted to talk to you. Obviously, this award is pretty special. I mean, it's a national award, and I was just wondering if you could, just talk for a couple of minutes about what it means to you to have this.
I was just absolutely overwhelmed that it's such an honor, and to represent the state of Arizona as well as a Guard member. So it was twofold, both as an individual award and then also just being able to recognize, you know, the Arizona National Guard as well. It was basically a shock, really a wonderful experience. And I had my friends receive the award for me. So also the Guerrero family received the award, Ben, and his wife, who happens to be a very dear friend of mine, was actually unavailable. She was at a military school, but we served together in OIF-1. And so a lot of history. And the Guerreros actually met in Desert Storm. It was a wonderful experience.
Well, can you tell me about the drug program that you've been involved with for so long?
Sure. I worked for the Arizona National Guard Drug Demand Reduction Program, which is part of the counter-drug program. And I had the great pleasure of serving on that task force for about 10 and a half years, and I resigned prior to deploying here. And in order to, I wanted to relocate back to Tucson because I was transferred there and pursue education or community development. Just ready to move on to another career or another phase of my life. And so I resigned from, it was a military position. It was an active duty special work position.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm looking forward to teaching. I really like to be a teacher. And so I'm really looking forward to setting up shop in Tucson once again.
What kinds of things, can you tell me what that program is? I mean, what kind of work did you do in the program?
Basically speaking, drug demand reduction is the military or, you know, the law enforcement terminology for prevention. So some of the things that drug demand reduction does under the purview of the Guard is serve as a force multiplier for educators and prevention specialists and go work with schools both to provide an educational component as well as a resiliency development. That my specialty was leadership retreats, was leadership through resiliency, or resiliency through leadership. And I'd work with my fellow Guard members. I was actually the non-commissioned officer in charge when I resigned for the state. And we developed curriculums that would help children realize that they really do matter. So that was something that was my specialty, was team building and leadership development as a way to help children feel like they truly matter. And I guess that would be my specialty.
Okay. Can you talk for a couple of minutes about your work with kids and bicycles? Because I think that's also been that was also a factor in this. And I know that you've done a lot of volunteer work in trying to get bikes for kids. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. That was actually a brainchild of David Kopp, who's Midtown Neighborhood Association. I don't know if he's still on the board, but at one point he was the vice president, and Martha Cooper was one of my mentors. She was the president of the Palo Verde, of the Midtown Neighborhood Association, and I was the president of the Palo Verde Neighborhood Association. So
president of the Palo Verde what?
I was the president of the Palo Verde Neighborhood Association,
okay.
And David Kaw was the vice president of the Midtown Neighborhood Association, and those, our neighborhoods, we're neighbors. We share the Alvernon border. So through the advocacy, through neighborhood advocacy, we met, and I love bikes. I mean, I'm a bike nut. I'm a bike commuter, actually. I'm built for comfort, not for speed. So I was a bicycle commuter for years, and I still am. When I moved to Phoenix, I was actually still able to commute on a bike. And we were talking about, you know, there were a lot of Bosnian refugees in that area that didn't have transportation, a lot of kids. So we decided to, he needed somebody that was somewhat mechanically inclined, and he's very connected as far as networking through the community. So it was a natural partnership between the two of us to support this bicycle effort in his neighborhood. So it was a complete neighborhood bicycle collective that was similar to Bikus, but on a small scale. Get bikes donated.
I actually did a story about Bikus once. I did a video piece on them. It's on our website.
What a great organization.
How long did you work with David on the bike stuff? I mean, was that an ongoing thing that you did for a long time?
You know, it wasn't. I can't remember. It was. That was quite a while ago. I know that it was probably 99-2000 time frame.
Oh, okay.
You'd have to ask. Yeah, it was. Basically speaking, we launched it. I helped him launch it, and then we found some other volunteers to that were available to continue on, which is really the premise of at least the drug demand reduction program I work for. Was we would try to help initiatives get started and then strong enough to be able to sustain themselves. So as a volunteer, I helped him kind of develop some volunteers and it became more of a self-sustaining entity. He also had a computer club and all kinds of stuff, but I was his bike lady. That was my nickname.
Well, the information that I'm getting from the PR people who sort of tipped me off to this, there was a story written about you by one of the people in the armed forces, and it says people love you. That you're just the life of the party, as it were. And I was in the military for 7 years, and having a first sergeant that you like is very, very important. I wonder how that feels for you to know. I mean, because, you know, as a first sergeant, you know better than me, I'm sure, that you have to crack a whip. And sometimes you have to deal with discipline and be maybe the bad guy in a sense, but to have people who really love you and like being in your unit, what does that mean to you in your current position?
Oh, well, you know, it's I find that giving is receiving, and I'm the most blessed first sergeant in the military because I have developed a relationship with each and every soldier, and giving is receiving. I don't even have to raise. All I have to do is look at a soldier if something needs to be done. Because we've been through, I mean, we just had our last mission cross the berm back into Kuwait. So everybody is home safe. We have all of our soldiers now in our fold that after driving about a little over 2 million miles all over the most dangerous routes and the world in Iraq, delivering supplies everywhere. So I feel like we've really developed a bond, and I think I utilize a sense of humor in the fact that I really promote, you know, I absolutely demand respect going every direction. And the soldiers trust that. They do, because they know that the sergeant first class is going to have to practice respect as well as the specialist or the private first class. You do respect, I mean, a position has its privileges, but at the same time, if you don't have a foundation of respect, you're not going to really be able to build a great unit. So I think that's the key, and just keeping your heart open. And the fact that I'm Big Mama, I mean, I was 35 when I went through basic training, so I'm old enough to be almost everyone's mother, including the officers. We do have some, you know, a few folks that are some elder statesmen and women of the Guard, but we have a lot of young soldiers that kind of have taken the call to service.
Can you tell me a little bit about what you've been doing? How long have you been over in Kuwait?
Well, we've been here for almost a full year.
Can you talk about your mission? I mean, what is your mission, generally speaking?
Generally speaking, we're transporters.
What kind of stuff are you hauling around? Anything?
Well,
I mean, is it just
I can't really tell you what we're hauling around, but
okay.
I can tell you that we move containerized cargo from the port here in Kuwait all the way up as far north as Zul, and
okay.
then various points in between.
Have you had casualties in your unit since you've been there?
No, we haven't. We've been absolutely blessed. We don't have it. We just completed the mission with no one hurt. We did have a gentleman break his ankle on the way to the bathroom.
Well, if that's as bad as it gets, then you must feel blessed.
We absolutely feel blessed, because it is an incredible feat that our soldiers and our officers and our non-commissioned officers have answered the call and delivered all of these supplies without anyone being hurt. We are so incredibly blessed. Everyone, and we've had a lot of folks praying for us.
So when if you've been there about a year, do you have a couple months left, or is your deployment up soon?
We are about to come home pretty darn soon. We
but
will definitely be home for, we can't say when, but I will say we'll be home by September for sure. We're just wrapping everything up now, and we have to go through the reverse, go back to where we did our training, and then we eventually end up back in the state. So it's like a reverse soldier readiness process that we have to go through.
So will you come back through Fort Bragg or Fort Hood, or do you know? Can you say?
Well, we're not quite sure where we're going to come back through.
Well, can you tell me just about yourself? I mean, what
sure.
possesses a woman to join the Army at age 35? I was 20 when I joined the Army, and, I was kind of in awe of some of the people, although 35 isn't that old now, I'm 44, it doesn't look that bad. But when I was 20, I saw people who were 35 going through basic training. You know, it just kind of amazed me that they would take that gigantic step at that point. And, you know, I mean, just even the challenge of just getting through basic training and making it past that first hurdle is tough for anyone, but to make such a huge change in your life at that point, how did you come to that? What brought you to that decision?
Well, that is like the ultimate, the quintessential midlife crisis. And, you know, without having to go into too much detail, I had a broken heart and I lost my mother right around within 2 months of one another. So between that and deciding that I'd promised my mother I'd finish my degree, I joined the military. And then I fell in love with it. I had no idea you get to run and sing, and there were a lot of really peaceful warriors. It was just shocking to me, the wonderful folks that I actually met in the process of making the decision to join the military. So, yeah, I didn't, and then I thought, well, okay, I'll stay a tour, but once I was in, because initially it was for my educational goals, but once I was actually in, I decided that I wanted to stay in some capacity, so when I finished my initial contract, I went ahead and stayed in the National Guard, and I'm very proud of the Guard, because I like the fact that we serve both the governor and, our current commander-in-chief. I like the Guard a lot. I like the citizen soldier concept.
Are you? When are you going to be done with this Army thing? How long have you been now? You joined when?
Less than 17, so I've still got a few years left. I know everybody looks I look like I should have retired 10 years ago, especially right about now. I'm looking pretty daggone haggard right about now, Brad. That's nothing that a little Lancome and some mascara won't take care of. A little eyeliner mascara, I'll be squared away.
Okay. Can you say a few words about, you know, about the people that have that have run all these missions under you for the past year?
Oh, Lord have mercy. I mean, it's,
you know,
I can't say enough about it. Pardon me?
Go ahead. I was just going to say that, you know, it must be very difficult for you. I don't know how many missions you've actually been out on, but I would suspect that most of your time is spent at the FOB or even at, or just at the port, just sending people out. And I'm wondering, you know, what do you feel for the people under you who have done all these missions in the past year?
I'm absolutely in awe of the level of responsibility that our sergeants shouldered, our young lieutenants shouldered. And, you know, the one thing I'm very proud of is the fact that we will be giving out awards. Hold on, please, Brad. Our unit actually had the highest approval rating on the Bronze Star out of the entire transportation group, which is a really very large element, brigade size element. So we have 15 Bronze Star medals being awarded this week, the next week or so, and 19 MSM. So we're very proud of the fact that we're going to be able to recognize these outstanding road warriors.
Tell me a little bit about yourself. Where did you grow up?
I grew up on the Eastern Shore of Maryland. I'm from Cambridge, Maryland. Beautiful place to grow up. And I've been a musician for quite a few years of my life. And one of the things I'd like to do when I get back is in a volunteer capacity is work with kids, like do community-based music, because everybody can sing. Everybody. I mean, everyone has a song. We all do. And whether we pound it out with our hands or whether we write it out or we paint it out, everybody has a song. So I would like to work for volunteer in that capacity to, you know, I've got a couple of drum sets. I started playing drums at 46 because I didn't want to enter the realm of menopause without something to beat on, quite frankly. So I'm a drummer. Not a great drummer, but I'm pretty good. Not bad. I've written, you know, I'm a songwriter by hobby now, but at one point I made a living as a one-octave wonder with a band called Connie and the Rhythm Method.
And how did you wind up in Tucson?
Oh, Lord, I had some friends there from college, really loved it, and John and Karen, and they invited me out to check it out, so I ended up in Tucson. I mean, it's quite a bit different than where I grew up, and I, since, of course, fallen madly in love with the desert.
When did you come out to Tucson for the first time?
I want to say I moved in 1994 in a 62 Rambler. I finished my active tour and moved out. I think I had come out to visit more than likely in 93.
Okay. What's next? You talked about some volunteer work. Are you going to be active duty when you come back still, or will you be?
No.
You'll be deactivated back reserve
absolutely.
Status, basically.
Yes.
So what do you plan to do? What are your goals when you get
back? I don't
back?
Know.
Have you got a
I
job
like
waiting
to,
for you?
I don't, per se. But I was offered a teaching position. I have to get provisional certification, but however, I'm not home in time. So I would like to do, I need to get certified. So I'm going to finish, I've got in the middle of one more class left for my master's degree, and I'm looking forward to doing a whole lot of nothing for a little while, doing some bike riding, some music, and some volunteer work, and then come January, more than likely will be teaching.
What grade level do you want to teach?
Oh, at 7th through 12th grade. I would be comfortable with any of those those age groups, 7th and 8th or 9th.
What subject?
Well,
what do
like
you have
to
degree? What is your bachelor's degree in?
My bachelor's is in absolutely nothing, general studies, but I have a lot of science, and then my master's is international peace and conflict resolution. I could teach history or social science or civics. I really would like, civics is so important because I believe we need to introduce the concept of citizenship to our kids again so we can have.
Can you tell me again, what is your master's degree? You're just a couple credits shy of your master's, you said.
Yes, I have, in fact, I'll be finishing by October because I should be done by October. It's international peace and conflict resolution.
That makes you sort of eminently qualified to be where you are right now.
It's absolutely.
There aren't a lot of soldiers over there involved in any capacity over there with a degree like that. Do you have any observations from an academic perspective on international peace and conflict resolution?
Well, I do, but I'm not really in a position at this moment to comment.
Okay.
But I do.
It must have been very interesting for you to have that kind of education and be over there seeing on the ground firsthand what's happening there.
Well, thank you so much. I really do appreciate your interest and your time, and I look forward to maybe meeting you in person someday when we get back real soon.
No problem. I will hopefully be able to do that because I would really love to talk to you about your perspectives on some of this stuff with your education. I find that very interesting that you must have a lot of training that gives you a very interesting perspective on what you've seen over there for the past year. So
yes.
I will
Yes, sir.
I will keep that in mind for somewhere down the line.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye now.
All right. Bye.